You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Aren't you glad? Well, I'm not in the most cheerful of moods, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying that I wanted to tell you that the doctors found that Michael has a tumor on the side of his head. And I guess from what I was told, he's not taking it so well, of course. I don't blame him. But I pray that you'll all continue to pray for him, as he will have to go on to surgery. I guess that's what's going to happen. And I hope that you'll pray. We're all going to try to pray that he has a speedy recovery and that everything goes well, and that he can get out of there as soon as possible. What would be even better is if the tumor just disappeared overnight, which may be something we should pray for. I was told by his mom that he is a godly fellow and a decent fellow. And so you're praying for one of the brethren. And so I pray that, I've been praying, and I just prayed before the show again. I've prayed many times about this already. And it's a serious concern. So please take the time, show your love for somebody you don't even know who's your brother. And that is the way we do things, because we care for each other. And that is a commandment, that we care for each other, that we love each other, that we do the best we can to help each other. Sometimes you try to help the brethren and it can backfire on you. I know how it goes, but the littlest of things can be made into mountains. But hopefully forgiveness wins out when it concerns the brethren. You know, it's amazing how the littlest things can just cause trouble, you know. I'm somebody who, you know, can stir up a hornet's nest rather quickly without even trying, you know what I mean? So it's just, it can happen, but that has nothing to do with Michael. I just pray that, you know, I hope that you will all pray. I trust that you will anyway. I'm sure many of you have already prayed. As I announced this on the Rabbit Hole Radio Show yesterday. So, let's get to it. So, now, we're in Fritz Springmeier's book, as you know. Been learning a lot about the troublemakers of the world. We're on page 317. And I just want to review a couple of things here. It says, further on, individual denominations will be examined in depth. But for now, here are some noteworthy items that can be mentioned in general about the Masonic infiltration of the churches. The first one is ministers, especially high-ranking church officials, are special targets of recruitment. Not only is this known to this author from interviews with ex-high-ranking Masons, but also can be seen from the following quote from the Proceedings of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, 1909. The Grand Master Charles R. Smith, speaking to a large Masonic meeting, which had representatives from 24 foreign Grand Lodges and representatives from 54 lodges in attendance, stated his following decision. I was asked, is a Jewish rabbi a minister of the gospel? Remember this from last week? And he said, yes, as Jewish rabbis are authorized by law to perform marriage ceremonies and other duties appertaining to the sacred office of the ministry, I ruled that they were ministers of the gospel, quote unquote, within the meaning of the section. You realize how ridiculous this is? And then it talked about, in some denominations, the selection of what congregation a minister is assigned to involves church politics that can give the Masons an edge. Conservative ministers are assigned small, poor, rural churches. More liberal ministers with the right connections are given large, rich city congregations. Not only is this borne out by an interview with an ex-minister, but reports like the following make it suspect. This report is from the Bishop of Southwark, Dr. Mervyn Stockwood. Here's the quote. A case known to me involved a particularly unfortunate appointment to an important living. The man, a Mason, had little to commend him, but he was approved by the diocesan, the suffragan, and the archdeacon, all of whom were Masons. I am prepared to believe that the hierarchy was innocent and never allowed the Masonic factor to determine their choice. Yeah, right. But in the diocese, it was widely believed that it was the golden handshake rather than the Holy Spirit that filled the vacant living. You see, we're always trying to do ourselves in this world, folks. You know, like it said here, that the conservative fellow that was a, you know, decent fellow that really loved the Father, so to speak, as far as we know, gets put into the tiniest of churches because they don't want that kind of thinking to go out to the masses, let's say. You see what I'm saying? And so they put these Masonic fellows so that they can make all the kinds of, you know, money too. You know what I mean? It would be a poor living for somebody like this conservative fellow, right? It's just like me, right? I have a very select audience because that's how our Father has it. It's not meant for the wide road that leads to destruction. It's meant for the narrow road that leads to eternal life. But in this case, it's a worldly thing. So they want to bless the Mason, bless the devil, the child of the devil that is now the child of the devil, that will do what the, let's say, the board wants them to do rather than what the Father wants them to do because they're Masons. Number three, it says, the Masons are a seed of destruction to the church using techniques parallel to what successfully worked for a white man against the Indian. The American Indian was conquered by the white man due to a series of several contributing factors, such as false pretensions of peace by the white man, the introduction of infectious diseases and bad habits, alcohol, and the promotion or the problem of inter-rivalry between Indian groups, divide and conquer. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't quite believe that narrative, and that's one of the Jews' narratives, that they want us to believe that we did the Indians wrong and we were liars and did everything. You know, I'm not saying that in every case we were 100% honest, but because I can see our people love to lie. But the Indians killed each other. And that's the rivalry, inter-rivalry. But alcohol, yes, had a big effect on them. They wanted it, and when they got it, who would have known that that would be such a thing? Fire water, right? Fire water, get it? So, within the Christian churches, Masons are introducing various infectious diseases, quote-unquote, such as, to name a few, are subjective religion, witchcraft, and New Age under different labels, the rapture theory, fatalism towards Armageddon, expectations that the Jews practicing Pharisaism from Babylon will rebuild their temple. See, I don't know, you know, somebody was talking to me about the third temple, and I said there is no prophecy of a third temple. If I'm wrong, correct me, please, so that I can learn about this third temple. But as far as I know, this is just an idea of the Jews to create the third temple and to resume the sacrifice, as if Jesus didn't do what he did on the cross, you see. And so this is what they did way back then anyway, right? So this was a thing where, like I said before, if you wanted to do a sin, well, you just, you know, and you can afford a couple of turtle doves or whatever it is, well, you just commit your sin and then you go to the priest and you're forgiven, you see? This is not the way it is supposed to be. And Israel was kicked out of Judah, and Benjamin were kicked out and sent to Babylon, even though they were doing these temple sacrifices, because what was more important than those sacrifices were obedience. What do you think is more important, right? Think about it logically. For you to obey the Father, or for you to give a couple of turtle doves innocent blood to be shed for the remission of your sin? Do you think he would rather you kill a couple of turtle doves, or would he rather you obey? I mean, you know, that just says it all. Need I explain any more? So what is more important than these sacrifices? Obedience. See, this was a thing of faith. You talk about faith. Well, they had faith that their sins were forgiven through these sacrifices. But see, obedience is a real working element, whereas shedding innocent blood is not so nice, is it, for your sin? And it should teach you that, you know, our people love animals, right? More than they love people in these days that we're in. And I'm not talking about all of our people. I'm just saying there are people in our, you know, that love animals more than our own people. So you'd think that they'd want to obey the Father so they wouldn't have to sacrifice a turtle dove. Of course, we don't do that anymore, but that's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? This is the thinking back then. And so this came from the Pharisees, and they want to return it again. So let me continue here. So it says that they will rebuild their temple. The notion that the Asian-blooded Ashkenazim Jews are God's chosen people and have an inherent right to take Palestine, a lack of zeal towards evangelism, especially cult evangelism, and ecumenicalism. One woman into Eastern Star, this is full of witches and grandmothers, not grandmother like, you know, grandmother, mothers of darkness type of thing. One woman into Eastern Star who calls herself a Christian informs people that one can be a Christian and believe in evolution. Yeah, sure. According to her, those Christians who don't believe in evolution are bringing dishonor to Christianity. Episcopalian Dr. Morey would have us believe that Freemasonry was a Christian organization before Albert Pike turned it into a Hindu temple, quote unquote. However, this is pure Masonic propaganda. Yes, I had one of the people I used to be associated with would say these things all the time. Oh no, Freemasonry in America was a good thing, and over in Europe it was good until it became evil then. No. It's been the mystery of religions are evil. This is one of Satan's chief things. The Masonic Lodge, as I've said so many times, is a trap for Anglo-Saxon white men. A trap to entrap them into doing the will of the Jew and loading himself up with demons. Let me, as you know, I am going to tell you about the Shriners, because I studied it on Christmas, in the Christmas time, as they call it. I don't care about Christmas. Let me explain something to you about Masonry and Christmas, the higher thing, which is called, these are Arabic orders. These Shriners. And what it is they have so many events, so many dinners, so many this and that, that they, it's a killing field. I looked at the list of the people that died in the last year in the Shriners, and they're popping off left and right. They're all heavy because they go to dinners and barbecues and all these things, and of course they're eating pig and everything else. And let me tell you something as well. The Jews, I watch some chefs on TV, and Jews come into this fellow's place, and he makes them pork, shrimp, and all these lobster and all these different things. Don't you think for a minute that the Jews don't eat pig and all that stuff? I've seen it myself several times. And there might be some Jew somewhere that in front of you will not eat pig or anything, but these people have no big deal doing it, no problem at all. So what I'm telling you is these organizations have so many meetings and dinners and all these types of things that they fatten these people up, and they're dying left and right. So it's a killing field. You see what I'm saying? It's a way of killing these people, you could say, with kindness, you know, killing with kindness in a sense, killing them by feeding them until they pop. And I'm telling you, the list of the Shriners that were dying in 1 year was just phenomenal. All right, let's continue. However, he says, after he said Pike turned it into a Hindu temple, quote unquote, however, this is pure Masonic propaganda. Any unbiased researcher will find the Christian churches were concerned from the very beginning about Freemasonry. According to the Scottish Rite's New Age magazine, the first expose of Freemasonry was in 1730. Remember that it was brought into the UK in 1717. So this is in 1730, and it was entitled Masonry Dissected by Samuel Pritchard. In 1798 and 1803, the Baptist Reverend Henry Crocker in Vermont preached sermons against Freemasonry, saying it makes a disturbance in the churches. In the rare autobiography of Reverend Abel C. Thomas, writing about 1829, records his observations as a Mason minister. And Thomas is usually a Jew name. Like, for instance, have you ever looked at Danny Thomas's nose? I suggest you do. All these people back before you were born that you saw their names, Danny Kay, he's another Jew, and on and on and on it goes. Danny Thomas, all these Italian singers that are really Jews. Even, like I said, Frank Sinatra had a kippah that sold for almost $10,000. And also, somebody had written me, and I wanted to mention this to all of you, that Anton LaVey said that My Way was the most, I think it was the most evil song ever written. In other words, he was admitting it was about the devil. I think he said something like the most satanic song ever written. So isn't it funny that I honed into that and I didn't know about that? Somebody wrote that after I had talked about when I did the words to My Way, right? I had no idea that Anton LaVey said any such thing. Isn't that interesting? So, I just wanted to get that to you so you knew. So, in this Abel C. Thomas, writing about 1829, records his observations of a Mason minister. The light of Mr. Kneeland was fast going away into the darkness of atheism in the Masonic Hall. In the Masonic book, The Spirit of Masonry, published in 1775, we are told, Masons know the way of gaining an understanding of Abrac. Abrac is a type of magic, like abracadabra. You see what I'm saying? I saw that right away. I understood that right away. Abrac. It's a type of magic. I'll have to look it up. There are many other quotes that could be added from this time period, but the reader can see the point which is being made. Masonry has been a cancer destroying the Protestant churches for over 200 years. Let me stop right there. Masonry is a cancer. Who runs Masonry? The Jews, who are a cancer. A cancer to the whole world. Everything they come in contact with, they corrupt and erode. They erode the body, the mind, the spirit, the soul. They erode the morals, the moral fiber. They erode the government. They erode the land. They erode the sky. They erode everything they come in contact with. They are a cancer, and their little arms, their tentacles, the tentacles of this beast, erode as well, you see? Because he said Masonry has been a cancer, destroying the Protestant churches for over 200 years. Charles Finney, the great Christian evangelist, after he joined and found out what Freemasonry was about, became a rabid anti-Mason. This was in 1824, the year he went into evangelism. While Finney was warning Christians about Masonry, another Christian, Reverend George Taft, was saying, Masonry and religion, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Taft. Sound familiar, that name? Dr. Morey claims he read everything, quote-unquote, the Christians had written about Freemasonry. He claims in the book to have studied Masonry in depth and found it was Christian before Albert Pike. It was Christian. Here's a Dr. Morey must be a real moral character. One wonders if he missed the great evangelist Charles Finney's statements. Finney was a Mason, but left to be a Christian in 1824. He stated in the 1830s, surely if Masons really understood what Masonry is, as it is delineated in these books, no Christian Mason would think himself to remain at liberty another day as a member of the fraternity, the brotherhood. It is as plain as possible that a man knowing what it is and embracing it in his heart cannot be a Christian man. To say he is to disbelieve the very nature of Christianity. According to an ex-Mason, now Christian, and let me speak on this for a minute. These so-called ex-Masons, I don't believe you're ever an ex-Mason. Now, I think it's possible that maybe there may be a few cases where that might work. But I believe what you do is you become an ex-Mason so that you can become a church pastor. And you see, again, this fits the Apostle Paul thing. An evil man full of demons is now going to be a church pastor? No. No. Sorry. Sorry, Charlie. The Father doesn't go for that. Whether this is an overstatement or not, it is clear from the author's research that it can't be much of an overstatement because Masons can be found even in groups that forbid them. If organizations of Christians are examined, Masons can also be found in the leadership. By controlling Bible societies, the type of Bible translations, the distribution pattern, etc., are controlled. Some examples of Masons within Christian societies are, you ready? American Bible Society, John T. Manson, President, ABS, Edgar C. Powers, 33rd degree, District Secretary of ABS, William Phillips Hall, Vice President, ABS, Trustee, Old St. John, St. Methodist Episcopal Church, New York, CT, and Scottish Rite. John Pintard, ABS, First Secretary. From the American Christian Alliance, William H. Anderson is the founder of ACA. Anti-Saloon League, William H. Anderson, that name, Anderson again, New York branch, Ernest H. Charrington, John B. Lennon, Vice President of ACL. Canadian Bible Society, Edwin Ralph George, aide, assistants. So isn't this, these are Masons. And this keeps going on. Ready? Christian Endeavors. Dr. Stanley B. Vandersall, President of the U.S. CE Society and Global Board Ministries. Samuel Herbert Allman. If that's not a Jew, what is? KT and GBM World Secretary. Institute of Practical Theology, Reverend Thomas Edward Weir. There's that name again, W-E-I-R. And I do believe that's Jewish, but some people say, no, that's not. But you heard of Brett Weir, haven't you? Jews for Jesus, Tuvia Zaretsky. Another Mason, Jews for Jesus. You knew that that was a fraud anyway, right? Because there's no such thing as Jews for Jesus. Travel Institute of Bible Research, Samuel H. Cuff. There are some Christians that this author doesn't know whether they are members, but certainly are for the New Age agenda. An example is InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, David Bryant, not known if he's a Mason, but definitely into the New Age movement. Next. The influence of Masonry upon church teachings can be seen in what the Educational and Historical Commission of the Grand Lodge of Georgia published in its Leaves from Georgia Masonry. It says, a quote here, "Let us take a look at the number of great Bible classes for men which have been organized by the church. Many of these classes are being led by enlightened Masons. These laymen are bringing to the interpretation of the Bible many of Mason's great revelations." You see, it's a tainting. It's another joining of priesthoods. You've got an evil priesthood of Freemasonry, and they're allowing these people to be in the so-called Christian churches' priesthoods. Now, how do you think the Father looks at that? When he looks at the Catholic Church and he knows that it's a Babylonian entity with a few Christian elements sprinkled in, do you think he looks at that with ingratiated eyes? Or do you think he looks at that as an abomination? I guarantee it's an abomination. When he looks at the priesthood of these Judeo-Christian churches, which many of them obviously have Masons entwined, especially Baptists. But I mean, they were all over the place anyway. Dr. Robert Schuller, remember him? So, I mean, how do you think the Father looks at these people? Does he look at them like, oh, they're going to come to him and say at the end how they have done many great works in his name, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." You don't think the Father would say, oh, a Mason says today I quit the Masonic Lodge. Oh, come right into my priesthood and teach my people, teach my sheep, feed my sheep. Sure he would. Sure he would. Just like he did with Paul. But he didn't do that, you see. Circle G seminaries and Christian schools. Circle G, that means a G with a circle around it. You know what G stands for, the generative principle, gematria, God, they say it stands for, etc., etc. Circle G on the chart is seminaries and schools. The following is a list made up of Freemasons who are in prominent positions in charge of Christian seminaries or schools, or are teachers. This is not a complete list, but it is given in hopes that it will provide the reader for a feel for how much influence the Masonic Lodge has even on Christian education. Centers that were thought to have been Christian centers for theology are recruiting and training centers for all kinds of heresy and occultism. Now can you see if they've got control over the education in the seminaries? What do you think, what kind of a preacher will be produced? See? You know what I'm saying? What kind would be produced? Do you think that a godly man would come out of this? I mean, come out of the seminary and graduate and become a so-called preacher or minister or whatever? Do you think a real godly man would come out? Or somebody that has had their mind taught in ways that are just not right, which will then teach the sheep ways that are just not right, which is the purpose of the whole thing. So it says a list of Masons who are in charge of Christian education. Also included are members of the Skull and Bones Order, considered to be part of the Juilluminati. In each case, they will be identified. American Baptists, Church Education 3, State Conv, Springfield, Hall, Glenn Hall Leach, Director, 1964-68, Andover Theological Seminary, Auburn Theological Seminary, Harry L. Reed, S&B, Skull and Bones Order President. Baptist University, Oklahoma, Joshua B. Lee, instructor. Baker University, Baker. What kind of a name is Baker? Wallace B. Fleming, president. Baylor University, William R. White. White is often a Jew name, especially the fellow that was in charge of the Nazi Party in America. Baylor University, William R. White, president. Robert E. B. Baylor, initial donor. Bethany College, Perry E. Gresham, president since 53, 32-degree Mason, and Knights Templar. That's what KT is. When I said KT before, that's what it means, Knights Templar. I just figured that out. Berkeley Divinity School, Henry A. Yardley, Skull and Bones Order instructor. Bexley Theological Seminary, George C. S. Southworth, Skull and Bones Order Professor. Brown University, Jasper Adams, Minister and Professor. Clarence A. Barber, President. Eli Whitney Blake, Skull and Bones Order Professor. Chicago Theological Seminary, F.W. Fisk, Skull and Bones Order President. Christian College, Columbia, Missouri. Eugene S. Briggs, President. Dakota Wesleyan University, Ernest H. Hahn, instructor. And Hahn, this is Hahn with an E at the end, but you know Jessica Hahn, that's a Jew name. Doshiba College, Dwight Whitney Learned, Skull and Bones Order Professor. Drake University, William Koch, like the Koch brothers, another Jew, 33rd degree trustee. Drew Theological Seminary, Wallace B. Fleming, Professor. Episcopal High School, Archibald R. Hoxton, Skull and Bones Order. Evangelical Academy, Christopher Kyle Andre, director. You could say Andre or Andre. Howard University, Kentucky Wesleyan College, John J. Tigert, president. Macaulay College of Theology, Matthew St. Hughes, or S. Hughes, excuse me, professor of theology. Methodist Sunday Schools, Edgar Blake. Board of SS, Secretary of Board of SS. And that's not the, Nebraska Wesleyan University, Melvin Leroy Ireland, trustee, minister. Notre Dame, J. Lewis Brown, faculty member. And that's Brown with an E at the end, which in England, that's the Jew name again. Northwest Christian College, Eugene, Oregon. Jack Jackson, Board of Trustees. Jack Jackson. Otterbein, leading United Brethren College in Ohio. Dr. J. Gordon Howard, President. Howard, Jew name again. Pacific Methodist College, A.L. Fitzgerald, President. Presbyterian Church, Arnold Hilmar Lowe, Board of Education, Christian Education. Princeton Theological Seminary, Roland Walter Anderson, Trustee. Unconfirmed, Herbert A. Gibbons, History Professor, and John T. Manson, Trustee. Rochester Theological Seminary, Clarence A. Barber, Professor. St. Mark's, Edward T. Hall, Skull and Bones Order Instructor. Are you getting the idea here? I mean, this goes on, too. And it just goes on, and it's a long list here. But you get it, right? You see that they've covered all the bases, and you know who made sure that they did and got into these positions, right? Amazing, because Alice Bailey said that they would, that this is how they would bring in the Masonic religion through the churches and education. The foundation, Circle B on chart. The lifeblood of many religions, religious institutions come from foundations and trusts. Without grants, many Christian schools would end up in the red financially. Well, they ended up in the red anyway, didn't they? Get it? I am looking for an inter-office memo of a Christian seminary. Re, the five-year planning process, it states, quote, we must cultivate a financial support base of both current and endowment revenue adequate to securing the desired quality of students, faculty, staff, and facilities. Seminaries cultivate relationships that bring them financial grants. What foundations are busy giving money to religious institutions? There are a host of tiny foundations and some medium-sized ones that were started by sincere people. Most, if not all, of the few big foundations tie in to the one world power. In other words, to the Jew world order. The Jew world order power in 1964 provided about one-third of the grant money going to religious groups. In terms of foundation power, the manipulation of Christendom can not hardly be underestimated. In order to stand in line for life-sustaining finances, Christian institutions have to prostitute themselves to the wishes of the one-world conspiracy. Listen to this. An example of a small foundation, Houston Endowment. The Mason Jesse H. Jones created the Houston Endowment. The disbursement of grants in 1984 give us an example of a small foundation which is working for the one-world system. In 1984, Houston Endowment gave out the following grant amounts. Abilene Christian University, $50,000. Jewish Anti-Defamation League, which I call the Pro-Defecation League, of B'nai B'rith, $5,000. Ashbury Theological Seminary, $5,000. Baylor College of Medicine. Medicine, it says. $30,366. Baylor University, $795,000. Congregation Beth Israel Synagogue, $5,000. First Presbyterian Church of Houston, $5,000. Georgetown University Center for Strategy and International Studies, $25,000. Houston Baptist University, $152,000. Incarnate Word College, $25,000. Jarvis Christian College, $50,000. Masonic Knight Templar Eye Foundation, $15,000. Masonic Shriners Hospitals for Crippled Children, $419,240. Now, you know that in my studies of this, I found that not all that money goes to the children. A lot of it goes to the working of the Shriners. You dig? St. John's Schools, $5,000. St. Mary's University, $50,000. St. Paul's United Methodist Church, $15,000. Salvation Army, $397,611. South Methodist University, $50,000. Texas Christian University, bear with me, there's a few more. $50,000. Texas Lutheran College, $215,000. Texas Wesleyan College, $50,000. And Trinity University, $55,000. It is clear that these institutions must not be rocking the boat concerning the Freemasons. It is also noteworthy that the radical Jewish ADL, which has bombed and assassinated people ruthlessly, is a recipient. Until this book, a few people would have seen any link, between the Church of Christ, Jewish synagogues, Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterians, and Salvation Army concerns. This book is exposing that the Masons have interest in all of these groups. Now, the Salvation Army has the red shield. It's not the same red shield that Rothschild, the red shield, had, which had the what's on the Jewish flag, the hexagram, the Star of Solomon, the Seal of Solomon that was used, that has 666 encoded in it, that was used to so-called control demons, but it never really was. The demons controlled him. But nevertheless, it's a red shield. You see, again, remember what we talked about before? That they must do as much good as they do evil. So the Salvation Army does good, right? But what is it doing for evil? Who is behind it? The red shield. I'll let you contemplate that. It's amazing in our world that we don't understand. We think that, like the Shriners, they have a burn center for children. This is a wonderful organization. These people are chock full of demons. You have no idea. I'll just say we have no idea what they're really up to in the background. But if it's anything like the Masons, and it's a higher up order of the Masons, it's no good. They're up to no good. But they're being fattened up for the kill, though. I know that. Let's take a break here, and here's one of my songs called What You're Missing. Very apropos, eh? This is from the Change album. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we were on the break, I was thinking about how this all works. Is what they do is, since they have Masonic connections and they get in control of the churches, they begin to bring in people like William Schnebelin and other liars who are pretending to be Christians that are ex-Satanists and so on and so forth, and they bring them in to actually teach Masonry to the churches in a guise. In the guise of, you know, we're all so accepting of people that say, oh, I used to be this and I used to be that, but now I'm a Christian. I'm a former CIA officer, but yeah, sure, you're a former CIA officer, my butt. There's no such thing. Once you're in this thing, you're in it for good. Now, I'm not going to say that somebody couldn't deliver, that the father couldn't deliver somebody out of some of these organizations, but he certainly wouldn't put them in the priesthood. These would be people that are, you know, liars, you know, that are full of demons and so on and so forth. Let me ask you a question. What did he do to the feller when he cast out all the demons out into the swine and the swine went over the cliff and drowned? Did he make him a priest in Israel? No. Did he make him a disciple? No. Told him to go. And tell no man, I believe he said. No, the fellow wanted to follow him too. You see what I'm saying? This is something that, you know, you wouldn't think you'd get a witness like that, but these are the things that made me understand about the Apostle Paul that it's just not right. You don't turn from a murderer murdering Christians and this and that, and then you turn around and you're the highest apostle of all. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It's not the Father's way of doing things. And, I mean, just using common logic, it would tell you that you wouldn't do something like that. But our people are very naive. We're all naive. Like, we'd like to believe in the goodness of all creatures and so on and so forth, when there isn't any goodness in these creatures. The smilers and the deceivers often get access because of our naivety, or whatever you want to call it, naivety, or whatever it is, being naive. It's kind of like what happened to Eve in the garden. She just didn't understand, and she was naive. She just didn't. And I can rightly see how that would be so. So there you go. So it says, an example of a large foundation. Let's continue. In the book, The Unholy Alliance, details are given on how the seminaries, church boards, and Christian colleges have been captured. Much of the money for this came from the Rockefellers. One of the principal large foundations that was instrumental in controlling religious institutions of various kinds was the Sea Atlantic Fund. They have now shifted to other channels. Now, you know about the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches, and that Rockefeller was prominent in that. The churches have been encouraged to give to help people in South America, and in other words, liberation theology, which I promise you we'll get to. I just haven't had the time to get to it yet. But see, the churches support people that are so-called freedom fighters that are communists. The churches support communism unknowingly, many of them. I don't know if the higher up or if the minister knows that or not, but I don't believe the congregation, for the most part, would know it. So let's continue. The Sea Atlantic Fund. This foundation, which was incorporated in 1938 and was headquartered in New York City, of course, 50 West 50th Street, gave enormous sums of money to manipulate Protestant concerns. In 1964, according to the Russell Sage Foundation's book, the foundation directory of the Sea Atlantic Fund gave away $681,886 in grants. In 1969, the fund gave $1,889,550 in grants. By 1984, the Sea Atlantic Fund was not being used. But a look at another Rockefeller nonprofit untaxed foundation, the Rockefeller's Brothers Fund, shows a revealing grant pattern. Until this book, many people would not be able to assimilate the meaning of this pattern. Although these other Rockefeller foundations are not specifically geared towards religion, such as the Sea Atlantic Fund was, it is clear that these other foundations still impact religion. Selected grants in 1984 of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Council on Foundations, $41,000. This money was, according to RB Fund Info, towards work of project which will carry out recommendations from study that points out lack of knowledge about global interdependence and about relationship between international and domestic issues. Emphasis will be placed on information and educational programs to help funders become more familiar with and learn how to analyze opportunities for international grant making. Harlem Interface Counseling Service, $100,000, Harlem. Private agencies collaborating together, $25,000. Encourages collaboration among private development agencies working in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Trilateral Commission was given $240,000. Selected grants in 1984 of the Rockefeller Family Fund and Rockefeller Foundation. The ACLU received $15,000. American Historical Association, $42,000. American Philosophical Association, $57,500. Catholic University of America, $25,000. Catholic University of Chile, $224,200. Council on Foreign Relations, $165,000. The NAACP, $100,000 to the niggas. Population Council, $1,235,000. University of Notre Dame, $25,000. Catholic institutions have been large recipients of grants from foundations connected to the world order. Can you understand that they might be interested in Babylon, the Babylonian Catholic religion? You can understand, I'm sure. I know I do. Of course, the Jews, where Judaism came from Babylon, would give to Mother Babylon. Catholic institutions have been large recipients of grants from foundations connected to the world order. The next chapter will explore the Catholic Church's part in the one world religion. And we do see the Jewish popes and all these people. We see this pope of today calling, just as his predecessors did, calling for a one world money system, a one world order, a new world order, and all these things, right? I mean, just about a week ago. The infiltration of the Baptists. The largest of any Protestant denomination in the U.S. are the Southern Baptists. How widespread is Freemasonry in this largest denomination? 40% of the Southern Baptist ministers are Masons. And that's, you know, that's probably just who they know exactly are Masons, you see. Not only are large numbers of Baptist ministers Freemasons, but the various Baptist denominational leaderships are heavily Masonic. Some examples are Brooke Hayes, 33 degree, president of the Southern Baptist Convention in 1957. Joseph C. Hazen, 32nd degree, corresponding secretary of the Northern Baptist Convention, 1940 to 51, commentator on the Federal Council of Churches of Christ in America, 1930 to 45. There's the Federal Council of Churches, right? And then the National. I think it actually has a world, but I'm not sure right now. Matthew W. Hill, vice president of the American Baptist Convention, 33rd degree, and York Wright, and it questions if he's a Knights Templar. Kenneth Raymond Kennedy, minister of General Association, General Baptist, and later executive, secretary of General Association, General Baptist, 1965 to 1977. Here's the fellow that wrote the Builder's Book. Joseph Fort Newton, 33rd degree, author of several Masonic books and a Baptist minister. Aaron E. Prince, 32 degrees, a Baptist minister and president of two Christian colleges. George W. Truett, 1867 to 1944, 32nd degree, president of the Baptist World Alliance, 1934 to 39, and president of the Southern Baptist Convention, 27 to 29. William R. White, there's that name again, 33 degree, president of the Baptist Baylor University, Waco, Texas, since 1948. Baylor University was, by the way, named after the Baptist Mason, Robert E. B. Baylor. The list could go on. Myron E. Adams, David Benedict, Clarence A. Barber, and on, the author says. Scott Baptists, Masonry and Mormonism. Jerry, listen up now. The Baptist Masons can be seen to have tie-ins to heresy. Sidney Rigdon was the Baptist minister who threw his lot in to support Joseph Smith and his start of the Mormon Church. Did you hear that now? Rigdon had been licensed to the ministry in the First Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1819. In 1866, Directory of Pittsburgh and Allegheny states on page 10 that the First Baptist Church met in the Masonic Hall. Now, do we have dots of connection in our minds at this moment? The First Baptist Church met in the Masonic Hall. What did I tell you about transference of demons or spirits or whatever you want to say? Sidney Rigdon was influenced by the ideas of the same occultist thinkers who were active in secret societies in Europe as Karl Marx was. Ideologies such as communism are in many ways modern forms of religion. The original thinkers devising communism were men like Saint Simon, who wanted to give birth to a new Messiah. In order for his goal of breaking the back of Christianity, a new religion had to be created. His final work was the New Christianity. He and his disciples planned for a fantastic new secular religion with globalness that foreshadowed much of this century's thinking. A recurrent mythic model for many of the early revolutionists was Prometheus, who in Greek religious thought had been the titan who stole fire, intellect, from the gods, z, for mankind. Fire and flames have been used as a symbol of enlightenment for many occultic groups. This gives us further understanding behind Lenin's name for his periodical, The Spark, quote unquote. One of the Masonic adepts say that the Jewilluminati hammer of Thor represents illuminating power. This is all, in all probability, is the origin of the Russians' flag's hammer. To understand the origins of the revolution and today's new Jew, I would say, world order, it is of profit to realize that speculation about the year 2000 began not with the futurology of the 1960s, but with a dramatic work written in the 1780s by the same figure who invented the word communist. The secret fraternal society of flowers, I wonder if that's fleur de lis, the Society of Flowers in France, 1836 to 1838, was the first full-fledged communist society, the Society of Flowers. Isn't that wonderful? Prior to its foundation, there were a multitude of experiments along a similar line. Owen founded communes in both England and America. Commune, right? You know, like, remember the hippies wanted to live in communes? You see, that was a Jewish revolution, as I was talking about. You see? I'm just letting you think about that. And I'm thinking about it. Communists live in communes. Owen founded communes in both England and America. Owen was invited to France by one of his disciples, Jules Gay, to set up a Maison Harmonienne to unite Saint Simeonism, Fourierism, and Owenism. He went in 1837. The Mason Buonarroti produced a basic text for social revolutionaries, later entitled History of the Conspiracy of Equals. This book was widely used by French social revolutionaries. The Mason Buonarroti, who headed the Universal Statistical Society and who looked up to Owen, helped get a small Owenite association of all classes and all nations going. Saint Simeonism was continued after Saint Simon died by the son of a Jewish banker, Oland Rodriguez. Get it? That's not with a Z at the end this time, though. Rodriguez. Okay, Rodriguez. So another Jewish name. But you can see Olinde, O-L-I-N-D-E, and then the name is R-O-D-R-I-Q-U-E-S, and his student, Enfantine, like infant. The Scotch Baptists, immersed Sandemanians, started in 1775 by the Scot minister John Glass, that's with one S, were also a primary source of Sidney Rigdon's thinking. It is not hardly known that Alexander Campbell was converted to the Scotch Baptists and that his Disciples of Christ were an offshoot of this group. Rigdon's Baptist Church, quote-unquote, was of this type and maintained tenuous, if any, relations with other Baptist churches. The Scot Baptists practiced a modified communism and believed in a universal church, it should say. Alexander Campbell lost patience with their church in Pittsburgh, PA, because they were having so many problems. Alexander Campbell had initially received help from the Presbyterians and later was ordained by the regular Baptists, but finally stuck out on his own tangent, and Signe Rigdon joined him. Signe Rigdon, you try saying it, wanted to continue the communism that the Sandemanians had. Alexander Campbell wanted to continue the nomenclature of the Scotch Baptists in regard to the weekly collection which they called the Fellowship, but wasn't interested in the communism. It is at this point that the influence of the occultic originated communes of Owens, Fourier, George Rapp, and others also played a part. These communal experiments had all failed, as all communism does, but individuals still loyal to their ideas found Rigdon's communal ideas compatible. Alexander Campbell not only allied his church temporarily with the Unitarians, but allowed Universalists and Masons to join this movement. Remember now that the Unitarians don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, remember? Alexander Campbell later regretted doing this. People with these types of background found their way into two commune towns that Rigdon set up and later handed over to Joseph Smith. Jerry, are you listening? John Cook Bennett, who was a Mason at the Campbellite, later became the mayor of the Mormon town of Nauvoo. He was expelled from the Mormon church on May 11, 1842, and moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Rigdon joined the Freemasons. He was also the major factor in taking Joseph Smith from being a prophet without a church to a prophet with an organized church of two communes. Rigdon's congregations at Kirkland gave Joseph Smith the nucleus of his Mormon community. To this came in such new converts as the followers of the millennialist and communist Bernhard Mueller, a.k.a. Count de Lyon, whose followers had left George Rapp's failed economy commune. These people were expecting the Lion of Judah would reveal himself in the constitution of his divine kingdom. One of the practices of the Scott Baptists of going to the theater and dances and other worldly amusements, which were commonly condemned by the most respectable Christian denominations in those times, seemed to have carried over to the modern Mormonism through Sidney Rigdon and other ex-disciples of Christ Mormons. Horace Greeley, a Fourierist and Illuminatus, remember he's the one that says, go west, young man. I believe he's a Freemason as well. If he's Illuminatus, he is. But listen, Horace Greeley, a Fourierist and Illuminatus and editor of the Daily New York Tribune, gave Joseph Smith some of his early publicity. In 1842, Horace Greeley published in his paper information on all the Fourierist movements, activities, meetings, conventions, and the organizations of the first settlement, as well as ideological articles. Baptists and the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mason Rigdon had been associated with a fringe Baptist group. The help the Jehovah's Witnesses received was from a very conventional mainstream Baptist church. In 1893, the Columbian Exposition in Chicago cut railroad rates down to about a penny per mile, a quarter of their normal rates. This prompted the international Bible students to have their first national assembly. 5 days of meetings were held, and what denomination helped them out? The Baptists. 360 Jehovah Witnesses, then known as Bible students, were in attendance. The Jehovah Witnesses audience watched in the Calvary Baptist Church while the Bible students baptized 70 converts in the Baptist baptismal facilities. Baptist churches also opened up and allowed Charles Taze Russell, to preach in them. The Baptists and the New Age. Will the Masons who are Baptists protect their flock from the New Age? In answering this author is reminded of how one evening his wife was remarking how the Baptist senator Mark Hatfield was being shown on television. The news was about a Masonic gathering for a senator. The senator. Yes, this prominent Baptist senator, and there are other Baptist senators who are also are or have been Masons in a 32-degree Freemason. This Baptist senator is Mark Hatfield is a 32-degree Freemason. The author has it from firsthand sources that the senator attends meetings with witches and other New Age activities. This is just one of many Baptist Masons who are involved with the New Age. The Masonic influence seems to be the best explanation for the seepage of New Age propaganda into the Baptist churches. The ancient Hindu occult symbolism of the Enneagram was introduced and promoted in the U.S. by the representative of the Mother. The Mother is the leader of the New Age community at Auroville, India. The Mother. Get it? Remember I said the Mothers of Darkness? Maurice and Hannah Strong, who have connections to the Order, to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, are leaders in the U.S. promoting the Mother. Each year, her disciples make pilgrimages back to Auroville for an international meeting. The Enneagram has spread into many areas of Christendom, but its use is no accident. It has been promoted. Nor has the heavily Masonic Baptist leadership prevented its use by Baptist leadership. Shirley Ann Miller, an ex-occultist who became a Christian, writes, "No one really knows where the Enneagram came from." Enneagram. If you want to look this up, I would say that we should put this in. Enneagram. Let's see if I can come up with something real quick. I don't know if I can or I can't. So, no one really knows where the Enneagram came from, but it is believed to have originated about the 14th or 15th century by mystics called the Sufis and the Jesuits. Whatever a person believes, it is pagan, is its pagan origin. It is now being promoted by Catholic charismatics and mystics, New Agers, and uninformed Christians. The Southern Baptist churches have been inviting the New Age author M. Scott Peake, an open promoter of Zen Buddhism, to speak to their congregations. Geez, we just saw that on EFR. We had a Buddhist speaking to the people on EFR several times. Isn't that wonderful? Zen Buddhism, as the reader remembers, has no personal god, but does have plenty of meditation and works, and expects the individual to find his own salvation. Recently in the Baptist Stand, the most widely distributed Baptist publication in the state of Texas, a top official of the Southern Baptist Convention suggested that Baptist churches did not have to worry about losing their members to New Age churches since there are no New Age churches. Sure. Well, there are now. In a perverse way, there is a tiny element of truth in that. Some Baptist churches don't need to fear losing their members to New Age churches because they are the New Age churches. For instance, Rodney R. Romney, the senior minister of the First Baptist Church in Seattle, wrote a book, which on the back cover says, "Mission, to find God, method, by finding oneself." Opening the book, we find out that to understand God is to finally realize one's own Godhead. Romney advocates using Eastern mysticism, Sufism, and transcendental meditation. Masons within the leadership of various Christian denominations have helped lead the fight against believing the Bible is infallible, for allowing homosexuality and many other liberal unscriptural ideas. One of the Southern Baptist groups that Masons have participated in is the Association of Baptist Professors and Religion. Taylor Clarence Smith was that association's president and a faculty member of the Furman University, a Baptist school. Smith, who was educated in part at the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, is well known for believing the Bible has errors. and also that modern scholars should decide what books they want to consider as canon. T.C. Smith, in a talk which criticized various Baptists for believing in Bible infallibility and which advocated the historical critical approach to Scripture, said it is the Bible, not God, that we are questioning. Three other instructors at Furman University of Greenville, South Carolina, were also known for their attacks against the Bible. The book, People of the Covenant, was co-authored by the three faculty members Robert Wilson Crapps, Henry Jackson Flanders, Jr., and David Anthony Smith. At least one of these co-authors, if not more, Henry Jackson Flanders, Jr., is a Freemason. Their book attacks many of the traditional Christian views, such as Moses' authorship of the Pentateuch, which they discerned Jesus was wrong about. Many of the seminaries are now teaching Eastern mysticism. Baylor University, which has been a Baptist seminary run by the Masons, has continued to get more and more liberal. Some of the students that are going there are rebelling against the anti-Christian administration of this so-called Christian seminary. On Labor Day, on Focus on the Family program, students of Baylor University who are trying to fight the anti-Christian administration of Baylor were interviewed. Baylor University has served Masonic goals well, or so says a letter from the Sovereign Grand Commander Luther A. Smith, 33rd degree, to Dr. James Wood, professor at Baylor. The Scottish Rite Supreme Council sent a $5,000 check to Baylor, handed to them by a 33rd degree Mason, R. Lee Lockwood Smith, 33rd degree. $5,000 check handed to them by the 33rd degree Mason R. Lee Lockwood. Smith, 33, writes Dr. Wood, perhaps also a Mason, "This is another contribution to further the cause of education in the area of church-state separation to which Baylor University is making such a fine contribution." The Masonic influence on the Baptists is not always blatantly anti-Christian. Anything goes in the New Age. An ex-Mason, now a Christian, told this author how he and his wife went to a Masonic lodge for an event that, to their surprise, turned out to be a wife-swapping party. They left disgusted. An examination of pictures of Albert Pike and Henry Clausen, two of the most important Masons of their time, shows them wearing the symbol of Satan. It's actually the symbol of Baphomet. It's right on their cap. It's hard to picture that devout Christians, unequally yoked with these things, would not become corrupted. How could they sincerely participate in an organization that promised salvation to men practicing such things? One feels compelled to believe that high-ranking Christian Masons are not sincere Christians. Really? Indeed, it seems that some of these insincere men are helped into prominent ecclesiastical positions and use those positions to subtly ruin Christianity. Once we grasp the possibility of their insincerity, then it is easier to grasp what they are doing to Christianity behind the scenes. However, the specific motivations of these men reside within their hearts. They may even be experiencing blackmail. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. And that's right out of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You see, they deliberately get these men to do things, and they record them. Epstein was doing this. They record them and get them to where they've got them. I don't want to use the term that I usually would use, but they've got them. And they've got them in a chokehold, let's say. And they blackmail them into obeying everything they want them to do, or they'll tell what they've done. Remember that New York feller that they outed a couple of years ago? I forget his name because I can't remember every little event that takes place, but he was one of them, and they outed him because he started to talk against them on a few things. And this is what goes on. Blackmail. Get it? Whether it's a blackmail, B-L-A-C-K-M-A-I-L, or black, M-A-L-E, they're both evil, as far as I'm concerned. What kind of seed are you, Jesus asked. The fruit from the type of seeds of destruction that are planted by these Masonic Christians, quote unquote, yeah, it should be quoted because they're not Christians, are difficult to identify before they fully develop. This is why it's so important to examine ahead of time what is being done. Some Amish have a saying that you can tell how successfully a man was as a Christian by his grandchildren. The author may have not only heard this, but may have read it in Family Life, an Amish periodical by Pathway. The Amish are experienced in counting the cost of a project or activity. Many practical or sound practices are being discarded today because they are no longer fashionable. The bias to be modern and new is so great it clouds our evaluations. Let me stop and speak about something about that. I think that's where we'll stop right there, because it gives me something I'd like to talk about. And that is, we're on page 328. That is that the world has taught us to always be looking for something new. So I assume many people, you know, we all do. We're always looking for something new. We've been trained to do that. And this training works when people talk about something like the New Deal. See, there was nothing wrong with the old deal, with the Father. But there's something very wrong with the New Deal, with the devil and his offspring. And progressives, that's new, right? You're progressing. But the progressives of today are causing the regression of yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with the Father's deal. You see what I mean? We don't need a new deal. We don't need anything new. We don't need any new laws. As a matter of fact, we need to rescind all these laws that these Talmudic Jews have made because they're of no value to us and no good to us. And they're not written for our good. We reject these Jews wholeheartedly. I reject Jews. I reject anything they have to do in our country, any laws they've made. I reject them wholeheartedly. To me, they are worth about the same, not even worth the poop in Bill Gates' jar. And I'm not saying that to be fun. I'm serious. They are absolutely worthless garbage. There is nothing the Jew brings to the table except new things that we don't need. You see, the Jew's father, Cain's father, brought something to the table for Adam and Eve, that they could become as gods, knowing evil and good. They could be gods. See, but we didn't need that. And that's the same thing the Jew brings to the table today. It's the same as their Cain's father. We don't need any of their new deals. We don't need anything from them. The Jew is useless. It's of no value. It is no good. It is worthless. It is against the grain of the Father. We don't need that. We have no need for Jews in our countries. We don't need them to take control of the finances. We don't need them to run their mouths. We don't need them in any form or fashion. We need them to shut their mouths, group themselves together, and stay away from us. We need them to be stricken, usury to be stricken from this country, which will denuder the Jews to a great point. This was done in Rome, and it needs to be done now. This would be the best thing that could happen. I mean, as far as denuding the Jews, the Father may want them here to, as part of the test, but he doesn't want them here in the capacity that they're in at this point. They need to be denuded like they were in Rome's Second Empire, Rome's the other part of the empire, the Byzantine Empire. They need to be kept out of the schools, just like the Masons need to be kept out of the churches and the seminaries. These Jews need to be kept out of our schools. They need to be kept. They need to have the media taken away from them. No one so-called people should have control over the media. And so there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.